Tonight, God told me to ask you what's, to tell you what's next. Not ask you, but to tell you what is next. Now, in the Word, on the day of Pentecost, the church was empowered with authority to decree God's purposes. Authority to live the dreams and visions they received. Authority to shape cities and nations. Authority to shake the heavens and the earth. That's Acts 2:19-20. Authority to reap the harvest fields of the nations for Jesus. Next, that is Acts 2:21. Now the impact was immediate. Jerusalem was filled with their teaching. Disciples were multiplied greatly, and many priests were obedient to the faith in Acts 5:28-6:7. And Father, I thank you for showing us what happened on the day of Pentecost way back in Acts. I thank you, Father God, that you are telling us this is the same thing that is happening this day. And I know, Father, you do not want us to take anything for granted from this day forward, but to walk in the Spirit, totally and completely consumed by heavenly wisdom. And now, Father, we just thank you. We thank you for the knowledge that the Holy Spirit is dropping within our bosoms. We thank you for the angelic host that has been assigned to us to go wherever we go to accomplish the work that your word needs to be accomplished. We thank you, Father God, that we are a group of people who have given you our all. We have sacrificed much for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we know, Father, nothing was done in vain. And we know, Father, that one day we will sit in heavenly places with you, proclaiming the goodness of our Father. And Father, we truly do thank you. We truly do praise you tonight. We thank you for this beautiful Pentecost day. And we thank you for all the gifts that you have bestowed upon your body. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now that you were endued with power in the upper room this morning, what is your next step? Let's see what the people in the upper room did. Let's read Acts 2:36-47. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. You know, when the people heard this about Jesus, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Then Peter said to them, "Repent. Let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children, and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call." And with many other words he testified and exhorted them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." Then those who gladly received his word were baptized. This is Peter's word they were receiving. And that day about 3,000 souls were added to them, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common. They were in unity, right? And sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who are being saved. Now, we see over here that when the people said, "What shall we do?" Peter first of all told them to repent, then to be baptized and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then he taught them many other things. And he exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. In other words, get out of the world. And then they broke bread. They had communion every day. And then after they did all that, many signs and wonders followed them. That's what happened on the original day of Acts. Now, what did Jesus commission the apostles to do? You know, Jesus had been crucified and he came back and he talked to his apostles. And in Mark 16:14, later Jesus appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table. And Jesus rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And Jesus said to them, go into all the world. This is what Jesus commissioned them to do. Go into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Amen. All right. That is what God is commissioning you and I to do today. And you can read that again in Mark 16:14-20. And I wrote down again, what did the apostles do on the day of Pentecost? Verse 38 calls the people to repentance. And this is what you should be doing when you go out. Be baptized for the remission of sins and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Then verse 40 instructed the people in the way of righteousness and told them to separate themselves from the world. And verse 42, he said, take communion and pray. And verse 43, perform signs and wonders. Verse 44, stay in unity at all cost. And verse 46, took communion every day with humility. It wasn't just an act. They were humble when they did it. And verse 47, they added new souls to the church daily. This is what we are supposed to be doing now. You know, when God told us he was going to send us out into the highways and the byways and compel them to come into the house of God, I've been reading where some pastors believe that God did close the churches down so we'd go out in the highways and the byways. But if that's the case, then the word says, and compel them to come into the house of God. Wait, they have to have a building if you're going to compel them to come in to a house, right? Then God said, I have been and still am teaching you of what heaven is all about. You will be bringing heaven to earth, and you will be anointed from upon high. And with his anointing, power and authority, you are going to go forth and conquer on all sides. With this anointing, you will bring in this great harvest that I have prepared for such a time as this. If you can really believe right now, God has increased the anointing from this morning. And we were singing those songs, you could just feel God just filling the entire sanctuary. God goes on to say, you must understand that this is the last great harvest before my son Jesus returns for his bride. There has been much preparation for this time frame, and now the time is ripe. God says, children, this will not be an easy task. You must at all costs stay connected to the source of power. You cannot break intimacy with the Father. This is very important that you do this. The people will need all the love you can pour into them. The enemy did a good works of enslaving the souls. This is going to take compassion and long suffering to win these souls. You need to understand right now their hearts are hardened. that they've either never heard of Jesus and can't believe there is a person of love, or they've seen too many Christians that weren't really Christians, and the Christians have turned them away from Jesus. All right? So their hearts are going to be hardened, and you're going to have loving compassion and just do whatever the Holy Spirit instructs you to do. Now, if you're really full of the Holy Spirit, you won't have to work at winning souls. The Holy Spirit that lives in you richly will draw them to you. And when that Holy Spirit in you draws them to you, then you lead them to Christ, not to yourself, but to Christ. That's how that works. You need to understand that the apostles were in the upper room and received the same power you received this morning. Let's take a look at how each died. I said, God, how are you going to put this all together? And this is really neat. You need to understand, you know, what God showed me was when people in the church today, when they receive an upper room experience, they think, oh, wow, I'm going to be famous. I'm going to do this. It's all about them. But they need to understand it's not all about them. It's about you being empowered and equipped to go forth and win the lost and dying. It's all about those souls out there. Now, the apostles walked with Jesus, and they had no power until the upper room. And as you read about the apostles, you'll see that they were all missionaries. Excuse me. They went out and they started churches, and they preached the gospel every day. Now, we want to look at how each one of them died tonight, because I want you to see this is not a rose garden that you're heading into now since you've been endued with power on high. How the apostle Peter died. He was crucified, but he thought himself unworthy of the same type of death that Jesus suffered, and so asked to be hung upside down, which is done in Rome. So he was crucified upside down on a cross. But, you know, it just took too long to tell everything that happened to Peter. Peter was really, he was really treated badly during his ministry. All the apostles were. All right, how did the apostle Andrew die? Once again, most historians agree that Andrew was also crucified, but he was crucified on an X-shaped cross in Greece. It is believed that while he hung on that cross and was dying, he called to the crowds and taught them about Jesus Christ and how they might be saved. Thus, he was sharing the gospel up until the very time of his death on the X-shaped cross. Now, I was trying to figure out what would happen to you if he was on an X-shaped cross. How painful that might be. I really can't picture that, really. Well, how did the apostle Matthew die? Matthew, like most of the apostles, late in their lives, became a missionary and was arrested in Ethiopia. It was there that he was staked or impaled to the earth by spears and then beheaded. How did the apostle Bartholomew or Nathanael die? Bartholomew is also known as Nathanael. He was basically flayed to death by a whip, where he was literally torn to shreds. When you watch the beating that Jesus took with just 39 stripes, can you imagine what it was like to be whipped to death? Your skin shredded to pieces. That must have been excruciating. Why did this happen to him? All because he was preaching the gospel. All because he was in the upper room and received power from on high. If some of you don't have the stomach for all this, then you better say, God, thank you for the power, but I think I'll take a back seat. Come on. How did the apostle Thomas die? He was stabbed with a spear and died from the wound. How did the apostle Philip die? According to most historians, Philip's death was exceedingly cruel. He was impaled by iron hooks in his ankles and hung upside down to die. You know, they were barbarians then, weren't they? How did the Apostle James, the son of Zebedee, die? The Apostle James is not the same James as Jesus' brother, so we need to establish that fact. So he was beheaded by King Herod near Palestine. That's what I say if they say, I'm going to cut your head off if you don't deny Christ. Go ahead and cut my head off. It's done, you know. Don't worry about it. Then you'll be with Jesus. All right, the Apostle Jude was crucified in Persia. The Apostle Jude, who wrote the text to the last book in the New Testament, by the same name, you know, Jude was the name of the Testament, went all the way to Persia, and it was there that he was crucified by the Magi. How was the Apostle Matthias died? Matthias was the apostle that was selected to replace Judas, who hung himself. Matthias was stoned and then beheaded late in the first century. That stoning would be a terrible thing, too. How did the Apostle John die? This is the disciple whom Jesus loved and was the only one that died a natural death. By old age and not martyred. He was imprisoned on the island of Patmos, where he wrote the book of Revelation. He was later freed and went to Turkey. This is the same apostle that is mentioned in John 21, 20, verse 2-23. Then Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following, who also had leaned on his breast at the supper and said, Lord, who is the one who betrays you? And Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, but Lord, what about this man, you know, John? And Jesus said to Peter, if I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? In other words, keep your nose to yourself. He said to Peter, you follow me. Then this saying went out among the brethren that this disciple would not die. Now, how did the apostle James the Less die? This is the most inconspicuous of all the apostles, and he has called James the Less to distinguish him from the other apostle named James and the James who was Jesus' half-brother. James the Less was beaten and then sawed in half. Now, the sawing in half, I don't think I would like that. I don't think they had the saws they have today. How did the Apostle Simon die? The Apostle Simeon is not Simeon, Peter, Andrew's brother, but Simeon the Zealot. He was also crucified. Judas the betrayer. It is not fair to call Judas Iscariot an apostle, since he was never truly converted or commissioned by Jesus. It may not even be accurate to call him a disciple, because he truly did not follow Christ, who said that whoever would be my disciple must follow after me. And that's in Matthew 16:24. The Bible says that he betrayed Jesus and then, being consumed with worldly guilt, went out to hang himself. And that's in Matthew 27:3-8. Now, how James, the brother of Jesus, died. The brother of Jesus, James, was not an apostle, but he was one of the early church leaders, and the account of his death is horrific. He died early in the church history while the New Testament was still being compiled. He was thrown some 100 feet off of a wall. This was done to him after he repeatedly refused to deny his faith in Jesus. After the fall, he was somehow still alive, and when they discovered this, his enemies circled him and beat him to death with clubs. Now, this is what's going to happen now, guys. You know, you wanted that power. You wanted that fire. And you wanted to be sent. And this is what happened. These guys were talking about, were in the upper room, and they received everything you received today. And this is how they ended up after preaching the gospel and starting churches. Now, the Apostle Paul. Paul deserves to be numbered among the apostles, since he was perhaps the greatest apostle and evangelist the world has ever known, and most certainly deserves to be included among the apostles. Second, you know, Paul was not among the 12 apostles. He says he was born in out of season, right? 2 Timothy was the last letter ever written by Paul, and in it he knew that the time of his death drew near, as he wrote to Timothy. Paul says, for I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. In other words, he said, if you will keep the faith, you know, fight the good fight, keep the faith, you also will one day sit with Jesus. You can hear the passion and love of Paul in his last words to Timothy. He wrote from prison knowing that his execution was near. Listen to the heartbreaking last words of Paul as he awaited his execution in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16 through 18. At my first defense, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. May it not be held against them, but the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed, and all the Gentiles might hear it, and I was delivered from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Now this might happen to you too. People might leave you, and you're going to be all alone. It's just going to be you and Jesus. Can you be like Paul and endure it? After everything Paul did for the people, they walked away from him. How heartbreaking. Paul was abandoned by everyone as his execution drew near. Most historians, both secular and church, say that he was beheaded. Now we know that the disciples left Jesus. And as I was reading, I said, you know, you reap what you sow. But he wasn't there at that point. That you need to be careful how you walk your walk. Because at the end, you're going to reap what you sow. You have to be careful how you lead others to Christ. You have to make sure it's from a right heart, a heart full of love and compassion, and not from a heart that wants attention, but a heart that just wants to see a soul saved. And the longer you go in your walk with God, the more you're going to find yourself persecuted and alone. And you're going to find out that you don't have as many friends as you thought you had. And you're going to find out that those in your family are the ones that are going to come against you the most. Following Christ is total sacrifice. You have to give God everything that you are so that you have no emotions, per se. In other words, you can't fall every time somebody doesn't do what you think they should do. How John Mark died. Yeah, that's Mark. They called him John Mark. Mark was not an apostle. Matthew, Mark, he was not an apostle. He was like Luke and just traveled with some of the apostles. Mark was tied to a horse and dragged to his death by a mob of pagans on Easter. Now, that would be a terrible way to die also. Now, how did Luke die? Luke was not an apostle. Luke was not one of Jesus' apostles. Some say he died a natural cause at age 84, while others say he was martyred by an adulterous priest who hanged him from an olive tree. This is what you're looking forward to. It's not your name in lights. It's not everybody gathering around about you and saying how wonderful you are. But it's the enemy trying to make you look like a fool at the very end. Are you willing to die like these apostles died? And another thing, you know, Jesus, he didn't call his apostles disciples. He called them apostles. Right at the beginning, he called them apostles. A disciple is somebody like, just maybe somebody just came in and just received Christ. That would be a disciple. An apostle is somebody who has power and authority from on high and who God uses to do great signs, wonders, and miracles. Don't be putting apostle in front of your name if God hasn't called you that. And don't let this little extra mind you have up here tell you that God's calling you an apostle. You know what I'm saying? Let's not worry about names. Let's be concerned about souls. It doesn't matter who gets the credit for the soul, does it? It really doesn't. As long as a soul is saved and one day sits in heavenly places with Jesus. God wants you to know that, yes, he did endue you with power from on high. And yes, you are anointed to go forth and do a great mighty works for him. And yes, you will be persecuted. The persecution of the church, and remember I'd always say when we read about the persecution overseas, and I would say that's going to come to America. That was God saying that. And God told me today, persecution of the church has truly come to America. And he said, I was supposed to tell you guys that you're going to have to keep yourself closely knit to him. Don't let anybody separate you from Jesus, but stay connected to him. And don't let people round about you discourage you in any way, shape, or form. But take it to the Father and allow God to vindicate you. Allow God to give you the truth. If somebody's saying lies about you, take it. Don't you try to vindicate yourself. Go to the Father with it. Give it to him. And in God's timing, he will vindicate you. And you might not get vindicated till you reach heaven. So don't even look for vindication down here. There's so many things going on in the body of Christ that are not godly. So many things. And everybody's wondering, well, why isn't this happening? Why isn't that happening? You know, because first of all, the pastors aren't preaching the truth. They're not. They're not telling the people that they have to repent and live a godly, holy life. They're not doing that. They're letting the people just go ahead and slide through just so they can have numbers in their church. God is finished with all of that. Totally finished with all of that. And now he's going out into the highways and the byways to compel them to come in. You people that have come to the Lighthouse Church faithfully every service, mad at me or not. There's times you come in here upset with me. Times you come in here, I've been upset with you. But we stuck it out through thick and thin. We weathered every storm. We might not have weathered it the way we should have in a godly fashion, but we weathered it. And here we are today. We were in the upper room. And God gave us all power and all authority. And he wants you people to go forth. You're a forerunner. This is a forerunner church. There's many forerunner churches. We're not the only one. And he wants the forerunners to go forth and clear the path for the lost and dying to walk through. God said the souls out there won't have to go through the maze that you went through. So don't be upset if they just walk through the door and get saved and get gloriously filled with the Holy Spirit and with power. Don't get upset with that. Because God's already warned us they're going to walk through the door and he's just going to fill them full. He's going to free them up and fill them full. We should be rejoicing in that. Because you know what? If you wouldn't have weathered the storm, the anointing wouldn't have been here when he walked through the door to change them. Are you understanding that? And even in your home, if you wouldn't have weathered the storm, if you wouldn't have sacrificed and did everything God taught, love the unlovable, you know, if you wouldn't have done all that, the anointing wouldn't be in your home to touch the people when they walk through your door. You understand all this. See, it was a price you've been paying all these years that God is now going to use. I'm hearing him say he's going to consume you with his fire because of the price you've been paying, and he's going to use you with great signs, wonders, and miracles. We were like martyrs. You know, we really were. I picked it up years ago, you know, that we're martyrs. Somebody has to pay the price to get the word out there, the true word. The unadulterated word, you have to pay the price. Somebody has to pay that price. Evidently, everyone who used it, here I am, Lord, use me. Boy, are you ever going to wish you hadn't said that every now and then. But you said it, and God anointed you, and God's appointed you, and now he's sending you forth to do a great and mighty works. I'm excited because I'm hearing God say, you'll be surprised what's going to happen on your job sites. People are going to actually fall out in the spirit. When they come near you, they're not going to know what happened. They're just going to fall out in the spirit. probably going to blame you for pushing him or something, but you know, you just have to be able to deal with that. All right. This is why I don't lay hands on people anymore, because you say you push them down. So I want to make sure everybody knows I don't push anybody down. You know, if the Holy Spirit doesn't take you down, I'm sure not going to knock you down. Because you're not going to receive anything if I knock you down. But if the Holy Spirit takes you down, He takes you to heavenly places. And God does great and mighty things in you. And then sends you back and brings you awake. And you're endued with more power from on high than what you had before you went out in the Spirit. I'm telling you guys, we have not even touched the hem of His garment, not even today. I'm just hearing God say, we are just beginning one of the biggest whirlwind rides that the church will ever go on. I don't want not one soul in this room to ever go out and argue with another person from another church. God told me to keep my nose in this church. This is where I'm supposed to be teaching. And I want you to keep your nose in this church. This is where you're learning. And you don't go out, you don't condemn anybody else. Because you know what you do out there is going to come back on us here. And we really want to be known as a church of love and compassion. And there'll be times that people who don't want to change, they'll start labeling you as demonic or whatever, and they'll start running you down, persecuting you. But which only thing you can do is to hold it up before the Father and let the Father handle it. That destroys the enemy more than anything else you could possibly do. All right? Now we know that there's some sick among us, right? And I want God so desperately to drop His anointing and heal everybody that walks through the door like He used to. But I can't want what I used to have. Because God said the works He's sending us to do is so much greater. So don't even be content with what you got today. Because there's so much more that God wants to give us. You know, a couple of you wrote and told me your testimonies, and I think they're powerful of what happened to you today. But I really want testimonies where we see angels. I want to see, you know, where people actually, you know, are healed and you haven't even touched them, but they'll say, yes, you did because I felt your hands on me. I want to see those kind of miracles. I want to see where the angels are sent in to do the whatever, you know. God said, whatever you place your hand to do, I'm going to do it. You know how He does that? Whenever you speak, He sends an angel force and He says, go complete that works. And that's what I'm excited about that. And I did read where a lot of people that, you know, God is going to use mightily have been very sickly lately. The enemy has placed sicknesses on them. Big God is saying, this is a prophetic word I read this morning. And Big God said to this person that He's going to heal us just like that and send us forth to do a great mighty works. So we can't give up if we're sickly. You know, if Satan's placed a sickness on us, we have to keep thanking God for our healing. We have to keep marching forward. We have to we need to start believing for a miracle. If we know somebody that's sick and we know they're living right for God, then we need to say, God, you please perform that miracle on them. Okay, let me go back. They don't have to be living right for God. Because I've seen God heal people that were not living right for Him, but they did afterwards. That got their attention. So if we just see somebody that's very sick, and the only way they're going to get over the sickness is by a miracle from God, then we need to pray for that miracle to, oh God, heal them. No, God, there's a miracle that needs to take place. Right? A miracle needs to take place. And I don't know about you, but I believe for that every day. When I pray for this church or other people that want prayer, God, give them the miracle that they need today. And most people are sick. Most people are calling saying, I've never had a back problem. I've never had this. I just got up with it, or I went to stand up. And, you know, it's just the enemy's really attacking. So, did your words get anointed today? You know, so that when you speak them forth, they carry the fire and the power, and an angel has to come forward and go perform that miracle? Maybe you need to sit at home, open your mouth, say, God, now just anoint my tongue. Anoint it so the fire will come out when I speak. Do you, God is saying, do you understand how I am blossoming you today? I'm unfolding you like a flower. And you're half in bloom, but you're going to be full bloom soon, sooner than you think. So, and then I'm hearing him say, the sweet smelling fragrance from your flower will draw many to the cross. Some of us, we smell like dill pickles. But God's called us a flower today, and he wants us to take the fragrance of a sweet smell. I like roses, so we'll say rose, a sweet smelling rose to the people. And I'm hearing God say, some of you are under a great attack from the enemy right now, financially, spiritually, in your health, in your family. But God's saying, as you decree that miracle to take place, and whatever it is that's attacking you, God will take care of that thing. You speak it forth out of your lips. You start believing for yourself. A lot of people say, oh, I'll pray for you, and they never do. They forget who you are even before they even hang up a phone or something. You know, I heard a pastor say that one time when I was first born again. So every time somebody said, would you pray for me? I pray right then because I don't want to be one that forgets. Say, yeah, I'll do that and then forget and never do that. And that person doesn't have the prayer covering that they need. So God is saying, what about you tonight? Are you ready for the fullness and the richness of all of heaven? He endued you with power on high this morning, but there's still the fullness and the richness of heaven that you have not yet received. He wanted you to walk in what you received this morning, and now he wants to complete the works in you. And if you really want that, you can stay in your seat, or you can go up here and lay under red marks, or beg God right now Adam, I'm going to need you to blow the shofar, if you would, please. God has anointed your blowing today to do the works that he needs to have done. And God wants to give you that richness and goodness of heaven that you didn't receive this morning. So, we're ready to do that right now. And God is also saying that he wants you, under the sound of my voice when you go home, to take communion, to seal this whole day with communion. And he said he never wants you again to blaspheme the Holy Spirit. And you do that, one way you do that is by not obeying what he tells you to do. So whatever the Holy Spirit speaks to you and tells you to do, you have to do it. He doesn't want you to blaspheme the Holy Spirit anymore. He said he's finished with disobedience. If he speaks to you to do something, he wants you to do it. He wants you to do it now.